following my
answer. Lydia was here, she would say, today's the last day to fill out your 401k.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so please do that. Turn that in. Otherwise, you will be sent where Empower wants you to go. I do have a couple things. One, we're going to try an experiment. Starting Tuesdays, every Tuesday from 1 p.m. to the rest of the day, we're going to have what we call a non-interruption period of work. And what that means is, on Tuesdays from 1 to the end of the day, don't talk to anybody else, don't interrupt anybody else, let everybody do their work where they are without interruption. Emergencies, of course, accepted. Does that make sense? Any questions what that is? Yeah.
Yes, I know for emergencies we can make interruptions, but being the nature of customer service, it's hard because sometimes you have people who need something and it's like, even though I might consider it an emergency, the person maybe I need to talk to, whether it be accounting or product development or marketing, they might not consider it an emergency. What's the best way to determine what would be appropriate?
If you in customer service need to get back to a customer, feel free to get the information you need. We're not trying to harm the customer. We're trying to allow you all to have some concentrated time to work on things without interruption. And we'll see how it goes. So starting next Tuesday, let's see what happens from one after, and we'll go from there. Okay? Any other questions? Okay, well, as I alerted you last week, I do have something to share with you this morning. State of the company as I understand it. But I'd prefer to answer your questions first, or all along the way, because that's probably of more interest to you than what I might have to share. So before I say anything, do you all have any questions you want to ask about the state of the company?
How's it going with the trial with Greg?
The trial with Greg?
How is that
there? He's been acquitted.
And the charges have been dropped.
You mean taking over the leadership of product development to get things going?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think it's going well. Greg, what do you think?
3 weeks from now, if all the guides are in, then I'd say it goes well. If the guides aren't in 3 weeks, I'd say it didn't go well. We're just working on the final proofs. But that's really all I'm doing. I'm helping out a little bit with marketing, but it's primarily just a product development project, and even in that, I'm kind of leading a team. I'm not doing the actual work, so.
Good. Other questions?
Any news about the marketing lady?
She asked some questions yesterday. We responded and gave her some questions. Hopefully we'll hear from her today that she will eagerly come and join us.
Okay.
Or she'll say no. But we hope to hear today. Good questions. Anything else? All right. Well, let me go forward, and I'll use my script here for the most part. That's for your advantage, as always, so that I try to keep it shorter than it would be if I don't read so much. I think it's fair to say, that things in general for our company, and company is in Quizicorp, even though we have Sunlight and Bookshark and Avix and whatever, talking about in Quizicorp overall, that our things are not going as well as any of us would wish. And while our sales and consequent revenue are down substantively, in fact, just this month of January, if you would look at our numbers from beginning of January to today, this year versus last year, the numbers are down quite a bit. And that has been the case to some degree for the last several years. We've been on a slow decline in revenue, numbers of customers returning and new. However, you must know we are a very strongly profitable company. And we have been profitable for every year of our 26 years, and we expect we will be profitable this year and next year and the year after. Of course, sales are the result of reaching customers. And we have reached fewer new customers, and we are reaching fewer returning customers than at any time over the last 26 years in terms of percentage. You know that these numbers are critical, and so we natively build on the previous year's customer base. So let me offer a quick overview of how that's likely to impact our company this year. If we have an increase in the number of new customers we reach this year, and we also have at least 60% or even slightly more of those that purchased from us last year purchase from us again this year. And by the way, that rate of return is very robust over the last 26 years. Our overall revenue for 2017 will be at best the same as 2016, but more likely less than 2016. When you start with a base of fewer customers, the same percentage of growth or even an increase in percentage of growth yields less in actual revenue than the year before. So if you start out here and you build up, you can only go so far. If you start out here and you build up, you can only go so far. Now, it's possible that we can reach many, many more new customers this year than last, and retain the same or slightly larger percentage of customers from 2016. And if we do, we could equal our revenue for 2016. But that will be a big challenge. It won't be easy to get there. Now, of course, Bookshark is a part of the overall Inquisicore strategy to build a company, and Bookshark is growing wonderfully. So to help us get to a good place for all of Inquisicore, we also need to grow Sunlight once again. And we're making some efforts to update and improve our IGs, the Sunlight IGs. We're adding some features. We're reaching out to the market more directly with our advisors and some other communications. We've increased the number of conventions we will attend this year. Over last year, we're adding back a full slate of 4-day packages in addition to 5-day packages. We expect to introduce some Konecraft activities sometime this year. We've altered the message of the catalog a bit, and we're seeking to interact with our market audience more via social media. And in fact, we've hired a contractor to work full-time for us on social media. We're also in the process of hiring a new CR person to bring that staff up to a greater number. And as we just talked about, we're hoping to have a marketer in here by mid-February or even earlier. We're also committing to ship our goods out the door in 2 to 3 days all throughout the year. And there are more actions, there's more initiatives we're working on. So you may ask, and if you don't, I'll ask for you, so how did we get here? Why are we in this particular place? And I want to offer to you that there are two possible reasons among many, but I'll just highlight two. One, we, the leadership of the company, and I mean more specifically me personally, have messed up, missed the mark in doing the right things at the right times in the last several years. To the degree I and our leadership team have fallen short of best leadership and wisdom applied to building the business, I offer my apology for failing to meet the growth and excellence standards that we all seek and strive for. That's one possibility. The other possibility, all of our best efforts have failed to keep pace with market audience interests. We have far more competitors and competent competitors than we had years ago, and homeschooling by individual families may be less appealing than in years past. Still, we believe, and many of our customers, many, many of our customers attest, that we have a tremendous product to offer. So, whatever the reasons, and those are just two, there could be 5, 10, you pick the reason that you might feel is appropriate. They are real, and we are here. So, we're seeking to improve, take sounder approaches, and do our best. Now, let me know, you, people in this room, people in the building, people who work at home, have done a marvelous job of working on all the projects and initiatives we have tried over the last few years and again this year. I want to be very clear, any lack of growth or building on the past is not due to your lack of faithfulness, competence, or your work ethic. You're all amazing. We're grateful to have you here. And we're willing to give yourselves, because you're willing to give yourselves to the many, many tasks that are at hand. Bottom line, we could not do anything in this company without you. Furthermore, to the degree we have not taken your inputs into account to help grow the company, please forgive us. We are definitely open to your inputs today and going forward. Now, there's some background factors that are definitely impacting the company as well. These have come to the fore in the last year or so, and they will continue to command the attention of the owners and leadership of the company, and I'm sure will continue to command your interest as well. We are working towards transition of the company from generation one of the Holtzman family to generation two of the Holtzman family. I'm not sure you're all aware, but if not, Sarita shared with the leadership team in February of 2015 that she would step down as president of our company in 5 years. That's just 3 years from now, basically. Now, I have, personally, grave doubts such a transition can or will happen at that time. But I do know that transition will happen at some point. So we're working on that and do not know what the end result will yet be. Nonetheless, that is a factor in many decisions and actions that are undertaken or not undertaken. So there are consequently some Holtzman family dynamics at work, there are some office dynamics at work, and there are some business dynamics at work. Parts of those dynamics include some decision makers not being in the building to make decisions or gather input from all players in the building. And I understand that makes things difficult. Parts of those dynamics include many of you wondering who's in charge or giving direction for various tasks and projects. Parts of those dynamics include a lack of good and thorough communication among, between departments, management to the team, team to the management, etc. Parts of those dynamics include significant differences of opinion as to what we should do and what we can do. So in some sense, we have done over the last, I'd say, 3 to 5 years, some trial and error to find our way, and not always successfully. Still, we are willing to try things. Now, I just read yesterday Sarita's latest word that will go to all of our customers, which we send out every couple of weeks. And I thought it might be applicable what I'm trying to say to you. So I want to read her words, a portion of what she said yesterday in the thing that's going out to all the customers. Here's her words. Have you ever done anything brave? If so, what was it? What did it feel like? What helped you become the type of person who could do something brave? I, Sarita, just watched an intriguing TED Talk called Teach Girls Bravery, Not Perfection by Reshma Sajani. She points to some interesting studies and anecdotes that suggest that boys in our society are conditioned to be brave and perhaps foolhardy, while girls in our society are conditioned to be perfect and perhaps overly cautious. Sajani runs a nonprofit called Girls Who Code, which teaches girls to be brave and aims to close the gender gap in the tech and computing industry. As she puts it, computer coding is a continual process of trial and error, of trying one thing and then trying something else. It's an effective way to teach children that they can overcome fear of failure by tackling challenges that at first seem impossible. And while I don't agree with everything Sajani says, I do appreciate her main message. We want to raise girls who fully develop their gifts. And that requires bravery. We don't want our children just play it safe in life and do what they already know they are good at. If children are to do whatever God calls them to do, they better be ready to be brave and take some risks and even fail as they follow their call. Now, bravery is different from foolhardiness. You could think of it as courage paired with wisdom. Bravery may not mean skydiving or bungee jumping, but it may mean loving someone in your life or letting excuses fall away as you take responsibility for your actions. In Sunlight's preschool curriculum, the Mighty Mind Game is an ideal way to help children learn that imperfection is part of life. Children just can't look at the Mighty Mind puzzles and fill them in correctly on the first try. They have to put down pieces, see what works and what doesn't, and rearrange until they figure it out. This is a great time to expressly teach them. And this is what I'm also suggesting is a good time for us to grasp. This is just what we do in life. This is just what we do in Inquisicor. If you don't know what to do, you try something. If that doesn't work, you try something else. That's how we figure things out. The refrain can continue as your children learn math, reading, music, sports, you name it. The training can continue as we try to run a business in the same fashion. End of her words. Now, my wife reminded me, I shared this with her, I need counsel. I get good counsel from her. She reminded me of another source of such wisdom, the movie The Martian. Don't know if you all saw The Martian. But towards the end, the astronaut made note that he survived by taking one step and then another step until he solved a problem and then another problem. So my input to you all is, I'm hoping, somewhat simple. Let's do what we can to the best extent we can, and if you run into a roadblock or are just uncertain what next step to take, feel free to get with your lead, your supervisor, your coworker, or me, and we will each help each other as best we are able and work together to make things happen. We all know the priorities in general. You know your priorities in your departments and your work areas. So let's work them and not let the noise bedevil us. As each day unfolds, we have real work to do to help the company get back on track. As each day unfolds, the road ahead will remain bumpy and uncomfortable more often than any of us would like. But we can get to a better place if we all work together. Now, I also wish to let you know that I do personally pray for each of you and your families at least weekly. I actually have a list. I have it by day with your names so that I can pray for you. And some of you do the same. You are the key to any growing future we will have, so I want to thank you for your good work and for your wealth of expertise. And in my prayers of late, I've been using two Bible verses as part of my prayers, and I want to share those two verses with you. One is from Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And I think there's some pertinence to the business as well. And then the second verse is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, which says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. And that's my prayer for us, that's my prayer for Inquisicor, and that's my hope that I can help you as we help each other to make headway for the future. Now, comments, questions about any of that or anything that may have spurred. Do you really want to know what's going on, or do you not want to ask me any questions? Yes, ma'am.
So you said that one of our goals is to solve a problem and then move on. and then solve another problem. So as a leadership team, what problems are you solving first, and what do you think the outcome of that will be?
I think we have several problems. One is communication. We're trying to improve communication here, but in particular communication to our customer base. There are things I think that we have fallen down on in letting them know well about what we offer, how good it is, when they can get it, etc. Another thing we're doing is trying to improve our Sunlight and Bookshark products on a regular annual basis to make them more appealing, to do things that would make them more palatable, to give us an opportunity with some new things to tout them in front of an audience so that they would be eager to purchase them. Going to more conventions is trying to reach a greater audience. Doing more social media is trying to reach a greater audience. If we can get the person we've interviewed and are seeking to hire for marketing, they have a wealth and a depth of information, background, expertise that I think will probably show some real evident progress in many areas almost immediately. And more. So which one's first? All of them. The ones that aren't first, we aren't doing. Everything that's first, we're trying to do. And there are some things we'd like to do we can't do. We'll work on those after April, May, what have you. Does that help? Good. Other questions?
You mentioned that, like, we're going to start redoing or making our products better each year. I was under the impression that every year we've always done that because, like, our IG team is always redoing IGs every year. So what's different?
We have changed our IGs almost every year. We used to change every IG every year. In the last few years, we changed some IGs and not all IGs. One of the big things this year is our IGs were not sound and accurate and complete last year. We had to make a lot of corrections. We had to go and apologize to our customers, in some cases more than twice, for sending them bad stuff. So this year we're spending an extra amount of time proofreading, spending an extra amount of time trying to make sure the flow is correct, that the right books are in the right places, that the IGs are sound. Time will tell whether we've done a good job. That's specifically something new.
Okay.
Newer. We've always looked at them. The problem is you have a typesetter or a proofreader who looks at an IG. They don't know the content. They don't know the flow. They don't know what it's supposed to be saying. So we're trying to get some folks to help us who do know those things so that it flows much, much smoother and better.
And as I understand it, we've hired a fair number of outside contractors to help us with that project this year. Is that something that we plan to do every year, or do we plan to hire more staff internally? Because I know that internally, everyone's got very full plates, and I'm not sure, like, how are we planning to make improvements when everybody already has full plates?
I think the fair answer is I don't know. My expectation would be is that if we can get a clean baseline for all of our IGs, going forward should be much more simpler to review and proofread. We will always use contractors to the best of our ability because it's a short period of time that we need work. It's not an annual period of time that we need work. So I don't anticipate we're going to hire a lot of people to do proofing or typesetting or what have you. We may some, we may not, but we're going to do a lot of contract work because it's piecemeal and for a short period of time. And there's some good contractors. I mean, when we say contractors, we're getting folks who have used our curriculum, moms who have used it, et cetera, so they're very familiar with our product. Does that answer your question?
Enough for now?
Mm-hmm. If you need more.
Regarding the 2 to 3 day shipping, considering the amount of turnover that we had in the temporary staff in the warehouse last year and how difficult it was to get good people, what's the plan to actually be able to deliver to 2 to 3 day shipping if we have the same issues with staffing as we did last year?
It's not 2 to 3 day shipping, it's 2 to 3 day fulfillment shipping.
Well, same, the process in the warehouse, 2 to 3 days.
Till it's a UPS FedEx truck, basically.
It's getting it out of the building, not getting it to the destination. We have no ability, none whatsoever, to be Amazon. We're not going to try to be Amazon. It's impossible. We don't have $1 billion to spend on self-driving cars and whatever. The answer is, I've asked Otis to come up with a plan that will show day by day how many people we need, who that's going to be. We have at least 3 contract entities that we can now go to get resources. And we're going to emphasize training for everyone we hire this year in the warehouse so that they know what it is they're supposed to be doing in advance of doing it, so that they can learn, grow, and then they can perform. And we'll take them in, we'll start the training. If they don't hack it, the one advantage of a contract through the temp agencies is we get rid of them and we find somebody else who can. And we'll just keep doing that all through the season. Good question. More?
Does that 2 to 3 days, that applies to all in Quinnipiac, correct?
Correct.
Sunlight and book shared together.
Correct. We believe that is something that will appeal to our customer base and make sense, so we need to do it.
I'm surprised that the perception is that it was that bad in the warehouse, because it really wasn't. We never missed our time frames, and we didn't have that many problems with personnel. It wasn't that bad. We're just stepping it up a little bit.
Yeah, we've committed to 3 to 5 days or 2 days during August, September. We're going to do 2 to 3 days all year long. So that's our goal.
I have a question on marketing. Since we're hiring the new marketing person, I had heard kind of, especially from the old marketing team, that they thought that one of the problems was they weren't listened to. Like, their expertise weren't really taken into effect. It was kind of listened and then, okay, we're going to go about it this way. Are we still going? Is that kind of mindset? Are we aware of that mindset is out there?
Would you be willing to share with me who you heard that from?
I'm not talking about anybody here. I'm talking about like what I heard from like our previous marketing team.
From Anthony or Tim or Michael.
Just a perception.
Or James. Okay. I don't know what the perception is. Let me tell you what the reality is. We hired them, and when we hired that team, it was very clear to them that they had a year to turn things around or they would be gone. They were here a year, they did not turn things around, they're gone. Bottom line, pure and simple. Did we listen to their inputs? Yes. Did we take every single thing they suggested? No. But I'd say we probably took 80 to 90%. Looking back from where we stand today to what we saw them do, we think about 80 to 90% of what they did was false and unhelpful and sent us in the wrong direction. The person we're hiring, based on the interview and what we know, does things in a very, very different way, and they're a doer, not a thinker or planner only, and they will use business case analysis to say, if we go here, this is what we should receive in terms of a return, both in customer count and dollars, and if approved, we will execute. But everything that will come up will be a business case proposition, which we will approve based upon the business case. That's my perception. Does that answer?
Yep.
Good question. Other questions?
You mentioned the issue of decision makers not being present in the building and how that causes some tension and miscommunication. Is there a strategy for overcoming that issue? And if so, can you tell us a little bit about what it is?
There is a minimalist strategy to overcome that for the near term. Near term being until April, May, June. And that interim strategy is we have, I'll just be very candid, transparent, established what I would call shadow leadership. And what that means is I've asked the team that's in the building to take care of business and not worry about the team that's outside the building if it interferes with progress. So what that means is Luke is the focal point for marketing. And we've included Luke in our management meetings so he can be aware of what's going on and try to make things happen. We will do the same thing in other areas if we need to. It is a delicate, intricate, and challenging proposition to include everybody that needs to be included but is not in the building. As a last resort, if anyone has a problem, an issue, you're stuck, you have a roadblock, you don't know what to do, you're looking for a decision, as a last resort, having gone to your supervisor, your leads, or whatever, and in time is of the essence, come to me. I'll make a decision. I have no problem doing so. It's very easy to make a decision. I will ask you some questions. I will want some information, but I'll be glad to make a decision. That's the essence.
Just to clarify, is Sarita still thinking of stepping down in about like 3 years?
Sarita is always thinking. The lady never stops thinking. I think she is still thinking about that, but I think the reality is, okay, when I first heard this, we had a board of directors meeting some time afterward. Board of directors is John, Sarita, and I. And I asked both John and Sarita a very straightforward question. I said, let's assume that this takes place and that it's the day after you have stepped down. And you hear that the new leadership has decided to remove 75% of all the books from the IGs and has decided to go in an entirely different direction for content. And you heard that the day after. Would you simply go back to sleep? Would you just ignore? Or would you have in your mind to call somebody who might be in charge at that point in time? Now, how do you suppose Sarita answered? Because this is typical of how she answers. How do you suppose she answered? This is your chance to get insight into how this lady works.
I think she'd call him.
No. How she answered the question, not what she'll do. How did she answer my question? She did not answer my question.
Oh.
She just looked at me, and there was ever so much of a smile. That's Sarita. Now, John, I asked him the exact same question. What do you suppose John's response was?
I'm going to believe.
Very long.
John said, I can't imagine not having a concern until the day I am no longer an owner of the company. So, given those two things, I just think it's unlikely that it's going to unfold at that moment in time. But I want you to understand, we're moving in that direction. So we're going to do things to make that transition work when it does take place. And we can't wait till the day before. So there will be actions taken, things done to move in that direction. I just don't think she's going to. She loves what she does. She really does. But she does have an idea of what she'd want to do if she wasn't doing Sunlight. Because she loves lots of things. So, there was another question? Yeah.
Just to follow up, what kind of steps are we making so that Sarita will have a chance to go to retirement?
We have introduced Gen 2 into decision making in the company. We have allowed, permitted, encouraged them to be participants in strategy review boards and other things so that their voice is heard. And I have been doing some, I guess you'd call one-on-one coaching, mentoring with them to the degree that it's possible. And by jumping into the water, we're seeing how much they can swim or sink. And then we take another step, or we take a step back before we take another step. there's one thing that's going to be very, very difficult, and I have had these conversations, Rita, really for years, but I've had more in the last 6 months, let's say, than others, and that is, how do we capture how you think and operate and make decisions so that at least Gen 2 knows what that is, so that they can either take advantage of it or alter it, but they have to at least know how that is. So, it's a tricky, slow, intricate process. And by the way, I'm having great fun as a part of that. Nobody else I know is. Nobody. But I really am enjoying it. Because I think it's important. And I think it's going to have an important outcome. Questions? More?
I have another question.
Sure.
And this is kind of, you might be able to answer this, Luke. As far as Gen 2, is Gen 2 on board with this? Is like, I mean, are they, because it's, I get the impression sometimes, not that they're like, with you, that you're, I mean, you're for not more management, you like working in, working with all of us and kind of day-to-day type stuff. I don't know about, you know, the other generation because they're not here as much, but kind of the perception that I perceive because they're not here as much and all that, and they're doing other things, is this kind of being pushed on you guys? And I'm not
right
judging that, I'm just trying to find out how that's...
Yeah. Okay, sure, I'll jump in. Hi, I'm Gen 2. I'm one of Gen 2. And so the interesting part is that we have been part of this company from the beginning. Well, I call it the fifth child of the Holtzman family. And just so you guys know a little bit of the dynamics, every time that we get together, if we're on a family fun week vacation, we're talking about the business nonstop. Like, we do not stop. If we're having a Sunday afternoon lunch and we do not work on Sundays, we're talking about the business. Like, it is absurd how much we talk about this business. And so there's really no way I could even see us not being involved. Even Justin, who is off doing his own thing in the old, every once in a while I get a phone call. He's like, Luke, we have to do this. You know, like there's always discussion and conversation about it. And so as far as our role in the future of this company, every single one of Gen 2 is deeply ingrained and believes it's important that we are involved in it. Now, what specific roles we have, that's the part that's currently being worked and is totally unclear. And I believe that's one of the reasons why Sarita started this 2 years ago, was to start the conversation, to start it moving, so that we could figure this out. And over the last year and a half, part of what has made this so difficult is that nobody knows. And a year ago, when I was, you know, kind of like, hey, there's nobody in marketing, Loop, go! That was one of those experiments where we took a step forward, and that was like, wow, that really was not the best thing. So we've taken a step back, we've relooked at things. Another example, Janelle was working 60 hours a week during that time while also trying to homeschool and raise her kids. And she was like, that's unsustainable. So what does that look like for the future of the company? We don't know. And the good news is nobody is forcing us into roles that we don't want. Sometimes we are called upon to do things and we try it and we say, well, we'll give it our best go because we care deeply about this company. As far as what does this actually look like 5, 10, 15 years from now, that is totally up in the air. In fact, my own personal thinking about what I'm even willing to do has been shifting over this last year and a half as I see what God's calling me to do, and I don't know what that's ultimately going to be, but I've had to stretch and grow because there are things where I'm like, I don't want to do that. Don't even talk to me about that. It's like, okay, maybe God's, you know, pushing me into that to grow into that, and we'll see. So that's my answer for that. I'm sure if you talk to any of the other Gen 2, they would have a different one.
But close, and I think the basic answer is, as he said, is we are not pushing them into anything. They are a part of the family. This is a family-owned, family-operated, family-perpetuated company. So they have been invited to be a part of the company. They are all shareholders in this company. So the issue is transition. That's a different target that we're now working on as opposed to participation has always been there.
And the pushing wasn't really a negative thing.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Sarita gave her announcement as a prod to move this forward. So if that's a push, that was a push, but we're not pushing any individual to do something. Good question. Other comments or questions?
I
Yes, ma'am.
There are a lot of, it seems like one of the big challenges for this company. What I've observed is they'll get into a project and they will spend a lot of time and money on the project, and at the last minute they will change their decision of their mind, and then the project will fall to pieces. Is there a solution to this?
is there a solution to this? No. Is there a attempt to solve that? Yes. And part of it is, let me just tell you for the catalog as an example. I've had catalog players come to me and say, we've been working on this, and at the last minute somebody said, hey, this is all nonsense, we need to change it. My input has been, until it is changed, put in the catalog what's there. And if at the end we don't have time to make a difference from what that person wants, done. Don't wait, don't hold back, don't stand still. My concern often is because of that, we have people who are waiting. You have 15 things to work on, and if you have the answer to all 15, we go forward. But if we don't have the answer to all 15, we kind of like deer in the headlights are wondering what to do. We all know what the top two or three things are. Make them happen. If there's an issue in that specific regard, bring it to me. I'll take care of it. And I'm not unaware of that. I've had that direct conversation with John. I had that direct conversation with Sarita. I've had that direct conversation with every supervisor. The answer is, it's probably going to continue to some degree. But we can minimize it if we take the position, we know what's best, make that happen. If somebody says throw it away, unless they have something to offer that's better than what's already happened, we're not going to throw it away. We're going to use it. We just have to do business that way for the time being. I ask questions. Somebody says, change the catalog because blah, 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 blah. All the headers or all the footers or whatever. My question to anybody who brings something up is, okay, once that's changed, how many people will now purchase from us that wouldn't have before? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is zero, we don't need to change it. So, we're trying to get around that to the best that we can. But it's not going to go away. But I think we can minimize it and make it fewer and farther between. But if you can counter one of those, let me know. I'm glad to make a decision. Glad to do that. Good question. Big problem. Not unaware of that problem. Just can't solve the problem to 100%. Other comments or questions? These are all good.
So we've seen you cut back a lot on work. Are you planning to retire anytime soon?
I am planning to retire anytime soon.
We say that.
To be transparent, I told Sarita 3 weeks ago that I was looking to retire either April 2017 or April 2018. It won't be April 2017. And I don't know if it'll be April 2018. That's my mindset. That's where I am. I like what I do. I'm enjoying my job. I am not unhappy here, but I serve at the pleasure of John and Sarita. And as soon as I am not helpful and I am in the way or anything, then I'll be gone. And if that's tomorrow, it's tomorrow. And if it's 2018, it's 2018. If they can make a convincing case for 2020 or beyond, I will entertain the case. But I'm ready to retire. I can retire instantly, and I'm prepared. I'm capable, able to do that. My wife would probably appreciate it if I would do it sooner rather than later. But I've taken steps to reduce my hours. At least what I show.
Welcome to family, Wayne.
So, it's going to happen. I just don't know the exact day, but if you all, what is it, they do petitions now to the White House to make things happen. If you all want to get up a petition to make it happen sooner, hey, I will certainly know, and then we can act accordingly.
We'll lobby against that.
Next question. Other questions? Because they're all good. Okay. I trust that's helpful to you. If you have something else on your mind and you just don't want to raise it up now, feel free to come talk to me. I will talk to you. I will tell you everything I know. I will couch it in appropriate terms. I will be guarded if I need to be guarded, but I will give you a response. And same for anybody else. What I would caution you against is asking each other what's going on. Because I don't know that you know what's going on. I mean, you may have a sense, a feel for how it touches you. But if you want to know, just come ask. We will tell you. We will give you the very best answer we possibly can. Again, not unaware of what's going on. I'm very aware there's a lot of dust in the air. I'm very aware there's some discomfort. I'm very aware that there's, I'm sure the way it would be said is, does anybody in this company really know what's going on? I can imagine that question coming up often. And the answer is, probably the right answer is, there's too many who know. And so we have too many hands in some pots, and we probably ought to have fewer hands in some pots. So we're going to work on that too. But anyway, that's kind of where we are. That's the state as I see it. Glad that you asked these questions. Hopefully it's been helpful to you. But again, if you have more, feel free to ask. Glad to respond. How about matters for prayer this morning?
We got an email from one of our customers in South Africa. Her name is Cheryl, and she handles a bunch of orders for us in the spring, or in the fall, excuse me. Her husband received notice. He's on a management team for his company, and they have decided to stop all of the management positions, and if you would like to keep your job, you have to reapply. And he doesn't have a university degree, so the likelihood of him getting reselected for that position is low. And so she's asked prayer for that, and also, you know, if this job doesn't work out, that something would come along as well.
One of my friends, Melissa, her grandfather went into the hospital yesterday with pneumonia. She's really close to him, and so this is hitting her really hard.
Stepfather Dick had his larynx removed because of cancer, and now they found that it's in his lungs, and he's in his 80s and not real healthy. And I fear his days on this earth are short, and my mother is not, you know, able to take care of herself, so it's going to get weird soon. So for the whole family.
I have a praise.
Yay.
Xavier made the talent show. So he's going to be performing tonight in front of all the parents, and today he's going to be performing in front of the entire school. So.
Awesome.
He must be very talented to do that in a week.
10 minutes.
Any other matters this morning?
I think we can pray for the millions of people out there that are feeling kind of disenfranchised by their government and stuff and picketing and not really feeling like they're listened to, whether you agree with them or not.
Anything else? Okay, let me close this. Father, thank you for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for having some opportunity to share. I pray that as it settles in, as it's pondered, as it's regurgitated in some sense, that it will help us all to join together to do the best we can do to make this company ever better. Father, we do have great things to offer people all around the world, and we look forward to doing that for many, many years to come. Father, for the needs of the company, for all the projects, for all the work, I pray that no one person would be overburdened and overwhelmed. I pray that as we cooperate, that everybody would be able to get as much done as they can and still feel that they have capacity and they're not being burned out. Father, there are some particular requests. I pray for Cheryl, a great customer who's served us in a kind of an enormous capacity by collecting a lot of orders and distributing them for all of our customers in South Africa. Sad to hear that this change in her husband's job is coming to pass. I pray, Father, that you would have favor on him and that as he reapplies for this position, education and degrees and titles would not be as important as performance and success and what they have already done. So whatever the outcome, Father, would you help him to either continue in his position or to find a new position and bless that family as they have blessed us. Father, for Melissa, whose grandfather is in the hospital and it's hitting her hard, we pray for her grandfather, we pray for her, we pray for all that family. Father, would you bring comfort as only you can, and may the outcome of whatever happens help to strengthen them in their love for each other as well as in how you're going to help them overcome this situation. For Terry's stepfather, for the cancer that's there, for her mom, for the entire family as this portends some changes in the future or some challenges, I pray you would encourage them, strengthen them, walk beside them. I pray, Father, that you just help him to recover, if that is at all possible, from this health issue. And that whatever the outcome, again, you'll be in charge of it, and all will rejoice because of what you're going to do. Father, we do praise you as well for Xavier having made the talent show and for the performances he'll be doing today and in the future. Thank you, Father, for his eagerness and willingness to try something. And may that just be a real blessing to the whole family and to all those in the talent show. And then, Father, for our government, our country, there are lots of people who are up in arms about many things. There are some who are disenchanted. There are some who are thrilled. There are some who for this, and there are some against that. And in our Republican form of government, that'll always be the case. Father, I pray that there would be unity among all the participants in our citizenry. Each of us, Father, have a role to play. I pray that however we might communicate and offer up our protests or our agreements, I pray, Father, that above all there would be some civility in all of that, that there would be actual communication rather than ranting and raving. I pray, Father, that those who have good ideas would be heard. I pray that those who are feeling disenfranchised would be welcomed into the process. And I pray that we would be one country for all. And of course, Father, that's only going to be possible if our country is as it was established, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Father, thank you for this day and for all that will unfold in the rest of it. I pray that you would give us strength and wisdom. And may you be the one who guides us, leads us, and directs us so that if we do change course or if we need to find an alternate way of doing things, you would be the guardian guidance day for it all. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thanks much. Enjoy your Thursday.
Thank you.
I'll pick you.